step, John. Tucker gets taller. I think gets taller every time. Well, once again, it's good to see you guys this evening. And as always, glad to be in God's house with God's people this evening. And we won't be long tonight, but tonight I want to talk to you tonight about commitment to everything but God. And it seems like today's Christian, today's society, we are committed to everything but God. And I don't know about you guys, but if we're honest with ourselves, and you know what better setting I knew tonight would be a pretty intimate setting, that our normal regulars would be here tonight. And you know, as I thought about that, it's up to you and I to be the most committed that we can be for Jesus Christ. Because without our commitment, then how are we ever going to get others to commit the way that they ought to commit? And so I applaud you for being back here tonight. And I know, it seems to be anymore, it seems to be a struggle for us to do the things that we ought to do, that we know that we are supposed to do. And so tonight we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 5th verse. And but I'll give you just a minute to turn there. But you know, to serve God, we must be committed to His will for our lives. And I hope tonight that you understand that. And you know, it shouldn't be a revelation that God's will for our lives is perfect, and that we need it, and we ought to strive to look for it. But we must be committed to all that He wants us to do. And I feel like sometimes we like to pick and choose God's will for our lives when it's convenient. Or when it's on our time, we're all about God's will. But anytime He takes us out of our comfort zone, or He asks us to give just a little bit more than we're used to giving, or take a little bit more of our time that's going to keep us from maybe doing something that we like to do, then God's will is not really in our cards. And, you know, He wants us to do it, and His purpose must be our purpose. And I think we can all agree that commitment is a term that has seemingly become obsolete. You know, when we think about commitment, it's hard for us to commit. Think about diets. Boy, that's a rough one, isn't it? You know, they all sound good. We look in the mirror and it's like, man, I'm going on a diet. And we're full steam ahead, right up until the point we look across. And man, that guy's eating a cheeseburger. That looks so good. I think I'll have one, right? Or exercise. You know, I've been back in the gym a little bit, and it's a struggle from time to time. It is. When you get up early in the morning, and it's just a struggle. You get old, you get sore, you get tired. And so commitment to that seems to fail. And then we think about Bible study. How many of us are truly committed to Bible study? You know, if we went around the room tonight and had to do a show of hands, we'd probably be embarrassed. Would we not? I hope not. I pray not. But if we're truly honest with ourselves, our Bible study, how many of us are committed to being in our God's Word, being in our Bible? And so to talk about commitment tonight, we must first obviously define commitment. And I want you to listen to me tonight. The definition of commitment is an engagement or a pledge to do something, an unreserved devotion bound to stand fast or hold in place. So now let's think about all that is. And let's think about, like I just said, our Bible study, our commitment to church, showing up at church. Let's think about how committed we are to some of those things tonight. And you know, our text verse tonight there in 2 Timothy, let's back up a couple, and we'll start right there. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And there in verse 5 it says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Boy, I thought about that verse 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves, having itching ears. I think if we look up today, that's coming. You know, it's amazing how God's word, you read it, and it's so spot on. How he knew 2,000 years ago that people would turn from sound doctrine. You know, the reason we turn from sound doctrine is because our lust and the pride of life and our flesh, we love to be told we're doing good. Everything's okay. And so instead of assembling yourselves in a church, a Bible-believing church of sound doctrine, where do? We go somewhere where it's okay to miss church, where they won't even know if we're at church. We go to a church where it's all smoke and lights and having a good time. It's a concert. And so we just turn and run away from what God has us to do. But you see, that's it all boils down to commitment. You see, God wants something from us, and we're not willing to give what God wants. We're not willing to give it, and so we just turn tail and run. That's what we do. That's what everybody does, right? We come to church and we ask you to do something, or you get nominated for something. It's not something you want to do. Well, you just check out. That's what we do today, right? That's what we do. And so we can all agree we live in obviously a self-serving, throwaway, live for the moment, do what feels good society. Can we all agree with that tonight? I think that goes without saying. We do what feels good, and we do it when we want to, anytime we want to, and we don't care who we hurt or what it costs, right? That's the way we do. That's what we do. We see people doing something fun, and it's like, well, that's fun. It doesn't matter if we can afford it or we have time to do it. Let's go do it, right? That's what we do. And so it's strange that more people don't see people at church and think, well, that's what I ought to be doing. Let's go do that. No, we go and we do other things. And so commitment made these days are those who are only, I mean, the commitments that we make today are only for personal benefit. That's it. The only commitment we're going to make is to do what we can do to make more money, more prestige, and have more things, right? Because if not, we wouldn't go days and weeks and months having lists on the board, taking time and time again, getting people to fill those things up. They would just be, there'd be people knocking people down to do the things that God asked us to do. There's so many ministries in a church that need to be filled, and yet we have to sit up here and beg and plead to get people to commit to them. And it's simply what it is. It has nothing to do with ability. We know we can do it. It's just the simple fact that I don't want to commit to it because I've got other things that are more important than Jesus Christ. And so, you know, tonight, aren't we thankful that Jesus didn't have more important things to do when it was time to bear the cross and climb that cruel hill? You know, we don't ever think about that, though, when we check out and go to the lake for the weekend or we find other things to do instead of being God's house. We never think about that. It's because of our commitment. You know, commitments that are made are typically made to worldly things. And so tonight, I want us to look at commitment and realize that commitment is more than a contribution. Because I know, you're sitting out there going, well, you're not talking to me. I'm committed. No, what I'm talking about tonight is there's many of us who we have committed and contribution. We have them a little bit, we're blurry there. See, because I know that there's a bunch of us, we contribute. We contribute. I can ask any one of you to do something one time, and you'll contribute. Well, sure, I'd do that. But then I'd ask you to do it. Could you do it for a year? Oh, whoa. No, let me think. I got to pray about that one, right? That's what we do, right? We got bus ministry, or we've got children's chapel, or how about Sunday school? We got Sunday school. We need a teacher. Well, I could fill in till you find somebody else, right? But we don't commit to it. We don't commit to it. How about show up to church 4 Sundays in a row? Well, yeah, if my job will allow me. You know, there's so many things that we put in front of God. And so tonight I want to clear up whether you're committed or you're just contributing, all right? And because God doesn't need a bunch of contributors, he needs a bunch of committed men and women to serve You know, we talked this morning, I thought it was great in Sunday school. We talked about being saved to serve. And I hope each one of you know tonight, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no excuse but to serve. To serve Him in all aspects of your life. That means through your job. That means through your money, through your time, through all your effort, everything. It ought to be God focused, and He ought to be the center of that. If you can't fit God into your schedule, then you're not doing it right. Okay? God has to be the center of everything. All right? And we need to understand that. So five things tonight. So don't panic. Five things. They're going to go quick. And the first one is, are we committed to the essential things? You see, we need and have to be committed to the essential things. Are we committed to building a relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, a lot of us, we're committed to coming to church, but are we truly committed to building a relationship with Jesus? You know, Paul over in Philippians 3:8, he says, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Boy, it's a shame we can't all have a mindset like Paul. Paul, he poured it all out. He said, "I count all things rubbish. Anything that would get in my way of gaining the excellence and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, I don't need them. And so, you know, some of us today, we have jobs, we have things that we do, and we think we need them, but yet all they do is supply earthly needs. All they do is supply the things that all they do is take away from our mission, which is to serve Jesus Christ. And so, you know, it's a fine line, and I know that there'll be some backlash. There'll be some that say, "Well, you know, you got to have a job. You got to do these things. You got to do this. You got to live." Yeah, you do. You do. But I don't think one time in my life that I've ever took time away from making money to serve God that it's ever backfired. You see, the problem is we don't ever commit to it. We have this preconceived notion, well, if I don't go to work, then I don't get paid, and so I just can't do that. We don't ever just go, "Well, I'm going to go serve the Lord, and when I get back, I'm going to count that the Lord is going to take care of me." See, that's the problem with today's people. We're going to do what we got to do, and if there's any time left, then and only then will we serve God. But you see, Paul had it figured out. He counts all those things lost. He counts all that for excellence. He loved it. And he gained all the things that he gained were through Christ, and he knew that. You know, over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Therefore, to you who believe," that's me and you, "for those who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." You see, there in Peter, the God, he was supposed to be the cornerstone of our lives. And some of us, we need to back up and look at our lives and see what's the foundation. What's the foundation of our lives? Is it God? Is it Jesus and Him crucified? Or is it all the things that we just talked about? You know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know, the problem is we've lost our desire to know Jesus and His words. We have. You know, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." How many of us want to know Jesus and Him crucified? How many of us are sold out for God's word? You know, that's the problem today. We're sold out for so many things, and they're all the wrong things. They're all the wrong things, and we wonder why we blunder. We wonder why we stumble. We wonder why we have so many trials and tribulations in our life. We wonder why our marriages fail. We wonder why our kids won't mind. You know, they won't do what we tell them. And it all boils back to our relationship with Jesus Christ. When He's the foundation, when our families knows what's the foundation, when we're in God's Word, when we're committed to God's Word, then we have committed family members. And when we have committed families, then we've got something. Number two, we must be committed to overcoming sin. To serve God, we have to be committed to overcoming sin. That's a big word for some of us, isn't it? Some of us, we like sin too much to overcome it. You know, we tiptoe around it, but sometimes, you know, we don't ever think about just completely overcoming it. That ought to be our main mission every day in life, is to overcome sin, that we completely depart from it, that we would be different. You know, we must want sin completely out of our life. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, "For whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." That makes sense? Whoever has no rule over his own spirit, that means that you have no control over your sin and your sin nature. God has no hold on you. There's no place inside your heart for God. And therefore, you're like a city with broken down walls. Everything that comes at you is just going to keep bombarding you. And you just keep getting knocked down. And you don't have the armor of Christ to stand up to it. It's because you have no rule over your own spirit. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Get rid of what is evil and cling to what is good." We certainly wouldn't want to do that, would we? Get rid of what's evil and cling to what's good. You see, the trouble is we cling to the wrong things because we like them. We cling to those dirty habits, those sinful lusts. We cling to those because they feel good. They make us feel good. They make us feel like we're somebody. But you know, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." We can't do that, church members. You can't come in here. You can't come in here and profess to be who you say you are, and then as soon as you leave here, your life tells a totally different story. You're doing all those things that drag you down. You know, Psalm 101 and 3 says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." How many of us try to not set our eyes on things that are wicked? How many of us turn the television off when bad things are on? Or how many of us don't look at garbage on our telephones or on the internet? How many of us abstain from that stuff? And I'm not talking about just, you know, pornography or all that stuff, but there's garbage all over the internet that it's just there. And then when we see it, it's like, oh, wow, okay. And then we just start filtering it. And then it's in our minds. It's in our hearts. And then if you're like that guy we talked about up there who has no rule over his own spirit, then we're out of control. And then we're out of the bounds and the realms of God. And before you know it, you're backslidden. And before you know that, then you're out of church. We don't even see you anymore. And it's all because of the garbage and the stuff that we try to filter through our hearts and our minds. You see, if God is at the center and Bible study and church and church ministry is the center of your life, see, there's no room for that other stuff. You have no time for it. You have no tolerance for it. But you see, just like commitment goes our tolerance. We tolerate a lot of things that we shouldn't. You know, Proverbs 8 and 13 says, "Fear of the Lord is to hate evil." You know, we talked about fear of the Lord this morning. That's to respect and show reverence to the Lord. Do we do that by hating evil? Pride and arrogance and the evil way and perverse mouth I hate. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. How's our mouths? How's our pride? It rules us, doesn't it? We get upset. We have filthy mouths. We get outside the bounds of the church and we're not around our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have filthy mouths. Our pride takes over. We know there are people in our lives that we need to witness to. We need to tell about Jesus. But yet, our pride swells up. And for whatever reason, we lose the opportunity. You know, I was reading a story about a woman named Corrie Ten Boom, a Dutch survivor of Nazi gas chambers, and she told a story of her and her group over behind the Iron Curtain. They were sitting in a meeting, a church meeting, and the doors burst open and there come in two armed gunmen. And they were all scared and terrified, and she said those two armed gunmen, they came in and they said, "We'll give you 5 minutes, all the congregation, we'll give you 5 minutes to to turn from Jesus and get out the doors. And if you do that, denounce your Christianity and leave. We won't harm you. And so the terrified group says they sat there for a second praying, tears running down their face, and said about half the congregation, out the door they went. They said the armed gunmen, they walked over to the door, and they shut the door, and they locked it, and they took their mask off. They said, "All right, preacher, keep preaching." He said, "Brothers and sisters, we just wanted to get all the has-beens and the ones who we knew wouldn't stand up for Jesus. We just wanted to get them out of here. We didn't want to worship with them." You think about that tonight. We can laugh about it. It sounds funny. But how many of us tonight, if somebody walked in with gave us that opportunity, are we all going to sit here and take a bullet for Jesus? Or how many of us are going to go, "You know what? I'm glad he died for me, but I'm not really ready to take a bullet for him. I'm going to check out. So I'm going to slide out the back." Are we committed? Are we committed to Jesus? You see, that would take real commitment. You see, we don't know when that opportunity may come, that we may be faced with that. And so, you know, we talk about commitment in a kind of a leisurely way about committing to doing certain things. But when we truly boils down to committing to Jesus, you commit your life. There's no turning back. Talked about the explorer Cortez when he came over here and he found Mexico. First thing he did when all of his ships got on board, he said all the guys ran off on board. And the first thing he did, he took three of his people back down to the shore, and he set all of his boats on fire. That way, all those guys that came with him, see, they had to be committed. They were only going forward. There was no turning back. See, that's the way we need to be with Christ Jesus. When you come to the altar and you give your life to Jesus Christ, you need to burn your ship at the shore. There's no going back, but only going upward and onward. Aren't we glad? Number three, are we committed to our marriage? You know, marriage is the highest form of commitment. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge." How could we ever be committed to our marriage if we're not first committed to God? As you look in just our circle of people, you look in this church congregation, and there's some couples in here that have been married a long time, and I guarantee you, I don't have to put words in their mouth, but I know without a shadow of a doubt the reason they've been married 40, 50, 60 years, without a shadow of a doubt, it's because God's been at the center of that marriage. We got some people here tonight that's been married 20, 25, 30 years, and the only way they've made it is by the grace of God. I'll be married 19 years Tuesday, and I can promise you the only way I made it 19 years, the only way she's put up with me 19 years is by the grace of God. You know, Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." It's all about commitment. Without the proper commitment for the Lord, how can we ever show proper commitment to our spouses? You want your marriage to work. You want it to be sustained and fulfilled and be fulfilling. You serve Jesus. You see, the thing is when a man serves Jesus, the woman sees the man serving Jesus and she wants to serve Jesus. And then when both of them serve Jesus together, then that's a marriage made in heaven. You have to understand that. You know, and then there's commitment to our children. You know, we talked a little bit about that this morning, but a high level of commitment is required to raise godly children. We have to be committed to raise our children. You can't do it any other way. As we read this morning in Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." It takes commitment to do that. And of course, Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way they should go." It takes commitment to train children. As we found out this morning, you can't tell them. You can't tell them. You have to show them. You have to show them. And then last but not least, tonight, we get back to our text verse. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, and do the work of an evangelist. To serve God, you must be committed to His will for your life. You have to be committed to your ministry. You see, each and every one of us tonight, we have a ministry. We do. You do. I do. You do. Big, little, in between, we all have a ministry. What are you doing with yours? You know, be watchful in all things and endure affliction. We have to be mindful of all things. You know, some of us, we're just kind of out there. We're just kind of in la-la land. We just kind of allow things to come and to bounce off of us, and we just kind of take them as we go. We don't really stand for anything. We just don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. Nobody ruffle mine, and we'll just kind of ride out their days, right? No, the Bible tells us we're to be a peculiar people. We're to be different. I can't emphasize that enough. I think that's the number one drawback today, is even in our children, is that we don't commend them, we don't pat them on the back enough for being different. You understand me? We tell all these kids, we pat them on the back, we give them trophies for being athletes, we do for singing and doing all these things, but how many times do we really stand up and pat our children on the back for being different and standing up for Jesus? We don't. And so, therefore, why should they? Because we don't stand up for Jesus, why should they stand up for Jesus? Endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. That's the question we all have to answer tonight. Are we fulfilling our ministry? As we prepare to close, Brother Darren, as we have a song of invitation tonight, and I know been a long day, and you're hot and you're tired. But I want you to think tonight, as we get ready to sing a song of invitation, are you enduring the afflictions for Jesus? Are you doing the work of an evangelist? And are you fulfilling your ministry? What is your ministry? Well, it's your testimony for Jesus. Are you fulfilling it? Are you doing all that you've been saved to do? You see, the Bible says we're saved to serve. And so we have to be committed. We can't just contribute anymore, guys and girls. We can't just do it here and there. But we have to be committed to do it all the time, every day, all day. When it's not easy, when it costs us something, we have to be committed. I'll leave you with this tonight. As our piano begins to play softly, I want you to think about, and I know you're going to laugh tonight, but that's okay. You think about bacon and eggs. You think about commitment. And you think, what? Bacon and eggs. Well, you think about the chicken. He makes a contribution, you see. It doesn't cost him anything. Plucks out an egg, right? But you think about the old pig tonight. What's he have to do to make bacon? He has to lay his life down. Who are you? Are you the chicken? Are you the pig tonight? Let's stand. What number are we going to sing, Brother Darren? 248. Are you committed? Come tonight.